Hello, and welcome to our podcast on wireless LAN security. In this podcast, we're going to discuss some common wireless LAN vulnerabilities and how adherence to a few basic best practices can change wireless LAN issues from a problem into a helpful tool for any enterprise. Ready to share his expertise on wireless LAN security is Paul DeBusey. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today, Paul.
Sure.
So let's get started with the first question. Many enterprises are worried about Wi-Fi vulnerabilities. Some enterprises even go so far as to not allow Wi-Fi at all or severely restrict its deployment. Is this a level of concern warranted for enterprises today, Paul?
Well, yes and no. I mean, given the history of wireless security, when you look back on that history, the very first security, WEP, was essentially broken. It was broken pretty quickly after it was released. And so a lot of people have that memory of wireless security not really being secure at all. On the other hand, if you look at what's available today, Wi-Fi Protected Access 2, as well as all of the support that many enterprises have added around the basic, you know, protocol, as well as the best practices that are now in use, you really can see that enterprises can really secure a wireless LAN pretty much as secure as a wired network. So I think the real issue for a lot of people is sort of the legacy history of the technology and really not, you know, what's available today to actually secure it, because it's actually quite secure.
Great. And in your opinion, what area of wireless security should enterprises be most concerned with?
Well, probably the biggest area is just using best practices. You would be amazed at the number of large enterprises that I talk to that either have no security or are using the older WEP with no key rotation, or even some that are using the WEP with 1 or 2 hour key rotation, which is, you know, better than nothing, but still isn't secure. So I'd say the biggest issue that I see is that people are not using best practices, they're not using the latest security protocols that are quite secure. And, you know, a lot of the reason for that is that most of the enterprises that I talk to are quite large, have 3,000, 4,000, or 5,000 access points, and it takes quite a bit of time, effort, and money, in some cases, to really upgrade their network. So that's really the biggest issue that I see, is just understanding the best practices and then actually putting them into use.
And is it just a matter that people don't keep up with the best practices, or that their daily work lives get in the way? And
well, I think it's a little bit of both. Many of these networks have kind of evolved. I mean, if you think about how wireless actually came onto the scene in the enterprise, it was actually more widely used within the home. And then many employees would come in and say, gee, I've got, you know, a $79 access point in my home. It works great. Why can't I use it in the enterprise? And so these access points began to slowly be deployed by IT. A lot of times it would be in common areas like conference rooms. And a lot of the early adopters, they had no security, or they used a VPN technology, or they used WEP. And so what has happened now in 2008 is that for many large enterprises, they have this kind of a hodgepodge. You know, it's a heterogeneous network with older radio technology, newer technology, older security. And so it becomes very complicated to take this network that has grown quite large and to upgrade the whole thing to a standard methodology. So I think for a lot of enterprises, that's really, you know, the primary reason that they are in the state that they're in today.
Okay, so size matters. Many enterprises are aware of the dangers of rogue access points, but more generally, can you talk to us about the vulnerabilities associated with network discovery and network intrusion?
Sure. You know, a lot of the issue here is that because wireless is invisible, you don't know where the network is. It's almost like having an Ethernet port sitting out in the parking lot or, you know, a quarter of a mile down the road. You don't know where the radio signal has propagated. And so many enterprises are concerned about discovery of the network, you know, the fact that you even have a wireless network, and also intrusion into that network. And it isn't that difficult. It's almost impossible, in fact, to stop someone from discovering your wireless network. All they need is a high-gain antenna, use a shareware utility like NetStumbler, and they can essentially just passively scan the network. And by passively scan, I mean they look for SSIDs and beacon frames or valid association frames, and they can pretty quickly discover the fact that a wireless network exists, and they can learn the logical name, the SSID, of that network. Or they can go one step further, and they can do active scans, which is essentially using the NetStumbler to send out a probe request with the broadcast SSID, and then that enables them to essentially discover any network that happens to be within broadcast range of their active scan. And then from an intrusion point of view, probably the biggest thing that folks are concerned about are rogue access points. You know, the employees that bring an access point into work, connected onto the network without IT knowing about it, or you know, even more insidiously, having, let's say, a guest that comes in or an intruder that comes in posing as a guest that places their access point on the network and doesn't tell IT about it, and then essentially opens that access point up to any association. So, you know, there you go, you've got a rogue access point as an intruder. And even, you know, the use of ad hoc connections on laptops or desktop devices that have wireless in them can also open up the network to an intrusion. So a lot of different issues there in terms of discovery, which is almost impossible to block, and several different ways of actually intruding into the network.
Probably one of the first issues that comes to mind for many people when you ask them about wireless vulnerability is the issue of eavesdropping, which is more broadly described as data confidentiality. Can you talk to us about some of the challenges with maintaining data confidentiality and also the vulnerabilities associated with user authentication?
Sure. Probably, you know, one of the big problems that folks are concerned about is the use of shareware to discover web keys. I've talked about web keys already as not being secure. And so, you know, once you discover a web key, then you now have access to decode all of the frames on the network itself. But other areas that also are vulnerable are the fact that management frames are not protected. So any of the association requests or beacon frames that are being used on the network are vulnerable to viewing by intruders. Now, that's an area that the IEEE is working on to essentially protect network management frames. But as of today, that has not been standardized and is not widely available. Thirdly, many folks are concerned about authentication, which is the ability to control access onto the network itself. So that's different than data confidentiality, which is just viewing the information on the network. User authentication, if you can break through user authentication, you can actually gain access to the network and then probe, you know, further areas of the network, such as file servers, for example. Here, again, it comes down to using best practices. There are a lot of best practices with using 802.1x and various EAP types, or some enterprises will use VPN technology and the access control built into that. But you'd be surprised at the number of enterprises that are just using MAC addresses, which, you know, are not secure at all. It's easy to change your MAC address. And in fact, all an intruder needs to do is use shareware, view some of the valid MAC addresses that are being used on the network, then go and change their MAC address. And, you know, if MAC address control is the only authentication mechanism, then, you know, you're in the network pretty easily. A second area is use of pre-shared keys. So although someone may use Wi-Fi protected access, they may use pre-shared keys. And these keys are essentially like passwords that are given out to employees, and they're configured into their systems. The problem with a pre-shared key is that it's subject to offline dictionary attacks, number one. Number two, sometimes employees will write down the pre-shared key and put it on a yellow sticky pad, you know, on the side of their laptop or on their desk, and that, you know, circumvents the entire use of a key in the first place if you're making that available to people right on your desk on a sticky pad. And even some EAP types. You know, the older Cisco Leap protocol has been shown to be vulnerable to attack. You know, most enterprises that have used Leap have now moved to EAPFast. But, you know, there are still some enterprises that I talk to that use the Leap protocol. So there's a number of different vulnerabilities here, both in the area of data confidentiality as well as in the area of user authentication.
Okay, so keeping up on those best practices is probably your best bet.
Exactly.
Great. And in our final question, intruders can wreak havoc with a wireless network by reconfiguring network devices and jamming radio signals. Can you talk to us about some of the attacks that can be directed at the network itself?
Sure. Probably the biggest issue is that using wireless equipment and then not changing the default password. Sounds silly, but it definitely happens. You buy new equipment, you're really busy, you use the default password that came with the factory to go and configure a wireless access point, or if you're not using autonomous systems and you're using a controller-based architecture, you know, the controller access, the controller password itself. So if an intruder can gain access to your controller, then they can change the configuration for all of your access points. They can turn off wireless security. They can, you know, modify the power of the radio signals. They can essentially wreak havoc on your network. And this is no different than the vulnerabilities that exist for the wired network, you know, your switches and your routers. So all of the same techniques that you use to protect your wired equipment, you should also apply to your wireless equipment as well. And probably number one is just making sure that you change the default password, use a strong password, and that you change that password regularly.
You know, Paul, I've heard from more than just yourself that's a common problem where people just use the default password and never go back to change it.
Right, exactly. It's one of those things that everyone knows you shouldn't do that, but let's face it, everyone's extremely busy. And if you don't change the password, then that becomes a vulnerability in your system.
Exactly. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure, I had a lot of fun talking about it. It's an interesting topic.
Wonderful. Thanks again so much, and thank you to all our listeners for joining us today, too.